All right, let's rock. So, the past few weeks have been pretty intense. So we're going to take it a little bit easy. We had the Kutzker, we had Reb Nachman, and Reb Nassim. They worked us hard. So this week goes a little kiddish, a little enig, tish, schosim shaya. Unbutton your top button, relax. Take a deep breath. Feel good, be happy, eat, chillin'. Ashkenazic food for your cultural appropriation.
Keep the shirts on.
You mind?
Persians eating chillin'. I'll do it. I got it for you. So why are we doing who is Reb Shai Lev Kerishtir? Most people don't know. They might know a song by him if they're Zusha fans. Or if they were at Matthew's wedding and they know the guy who sang at his wedding and they know he also sings a song about Reb Shaila, that could help. But why are we doing Reb Shaila? For two main reasons. Reason number one is because I have a dear friend, his name is Noah Shapiro. Oh. Noah and I have been friends since freshman year at MTA. And Noah is the great, great grandson of Reb Shaila of Kerishtir. He's the guy who wears a strimal and shul on Shabbos, if you've seen him.
We have a friend who's also great grand.
By Reb Shaila?
Yeah.
Oh, who is that? Is it Forta?
Yaakov Sigler.
Okay. So his mother's grandmother's grandfather is Reb Shaila, or his mother's grandfather's grandfather was Reb Shaila. And he only died in 1925. So that's pretty close. Quick test. When did Reb Nachman live?
In 100 years ago.
What century? Not bad. Good. 18. Around the turn of the 18. Mm-hmm. Reb Nassim died.
A couple years later.
1844. Not bad. Reb Shaila was born 1852. The Kutzker and Reb Nassim kind of lived around the same time. Kutzker by 1852. So we're doing the Kutzker as well because, you know, number one, I feel like his family. I grew up with Noah and hearing some mises before I could learn anything, read any Gemaras, know anything at all. Noah was telling me about the Moifes Hador, Reb Shaila Kerishtir. So let us jump in a little bit. Well, look, when it comes to the Kutzker, when it comes to Reb Nassim, when it comes to Reb Nachman, when it comes to the Klosenberger Rebbe, the Piazetzner Rebbe, we're talking people that had systems of like svarim and a path you to follow, and they demanded things of you. With Reb Shaila, you don't have to like change your whole life. Reb Shaila, you for brain. Reb Shaila, you for brain. You tell a lot of maisim. You tell a lot of stories. You smile about the amazing stories of Reb Shaila. That's what we're here to do tonight. Take it easy. It's Purim this week. What? If you didn't see the sign, this is Reb Shaila. Moifes Hador. You might have seen his face in restaurants.
And
the Tisha. We'll get to that Maisa. But I just have a ton of Maisas for you. So sit back and enjoy the show. So I'll just tell you first where he was from. His name is Rabbi Yeshaya Steiner. And he was from Hungary, and Nebuch, his father, passed away when he was very young. Happened in those days. People died a lot more often, much more common to have second or third marriages, just because everyone's spouses were dying all the time. And to lose several children, that was much more common in those days. And this is only 100 years ago, to know how far we've come scientifically. And okay, so his father passed away when he was young, so his mother sends him, when he was a young child, to learn by a tzaddik named Reb Tzvi Hirsch from Lisk. That was the Lisk Rav. And Reb Shaila grew up in this tzaddik, his Rebbe's court. And he, as he got a little bit older, you know, the Liska Rav liked him more and more. He ended up becoming the shamish of Reb Tzvi Hirsch Liska, which means that he would take care of his stuff. He would set up the room for the tish. He would get the chevra going. He would accept the money. He would give out the food. And the amazing thing is that as Reb Shaila's life continued, no matter how big he became, no matter how many thousands of chassidim he ended up having, he always signed his name, Reb Shaya ben Reb Moshe, the shamish of the Liska Rav. For his whole life, I'm the shamish of Liska, because he never saw himself as anything more than a shamish. And who did he become a shamish for? Sometimes it was Liska Rav, sometimes it was for the Borei Olam. But that was a shah. I'll tell you a good maisa for him as the shamish of Tzvi Hirsch Lisk. This is maisa first from Rav Weinberger. He told it very intensely, but it's just a nice maisa. That so Reb Shaila is Motzei Shabbos, and we'll have Malka. That's up next. Lach Malkus. And Reb Shaila's job is to give out the Bilkalach. And because we all grew up in America, we don't know what Bilkalach are, but Bilkalach is how you say challah rolls in Yiddish. Can you imagine? Like, that's like a word we should... Like, gefilte fish is... Bilkalach is challah rolls. So Reb Shaila's giving out challah rolls. And he's giving out challah rolls, and he's giving out these Bilkalach, and he's reaching into his... black bag full of bilkalach, and giving them out to everybody at the Malav Malka in Lisk. In Liska. And everyone's, okay, eating the Seder, getting ready. And the Rebbe, Reb Tzvi Hirsch of Lisk, Reb Shaila's Rebbe, is staring at Reb Shaila giving out challah rolls. And there's another shamish, and he said to him, he's like kind of jealous of Reb Shaila a little bit. The Rebbe's like staring at Reb Shaila, and he says to him, "Nu, like Rebbe, like why are you staring at Reb Shaila?" And he responded, "He's giving out bilkalach for so long." And this other shamash says, "Yeah, but no, Shaila always gives out bilkalach. Like, who really cares that he's giving out challah rolls?" And Tzvi Hirsch looks to the shamash and says, "Yeah, but he's been giving bilkalach out for half an hour, and the bag emptied out 25 minutes ago."
What?
He's pulling challahs out of thin air. He was the Meifes Ador, Shaila. So let's get to a little about more you, so we'll understand this maysa.
Magic.
So he's the shamash of Tzvi Hirsch, and after a while the Lisker Rav passes away, and okay, so Reb Shaila still sees himself as a shamash, but he's sort of encouraged by Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, the Klozenberg Rebbe, his great 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 grandfather, not even so many greats, and he's encouraged by Reb Mordechai ben Dvorna, who's also Noah Shapiro's great great grandfather. And they tell him, "Look, you have to become a tzaddik, become a rebbe, become a whatever, set up your court in Karastir." And Reb Shaila does that, and he creates a sort of like an inn in Karastir. And, you know, when we spoke about Kusk, when we spoke about Tamashav, so you go to Tamashav and you'd be into this like crazy system of learning and self-reflection and avoda and MS and be honest, or you're in Breslov and every moment of your life is demanding, and Reb Nosson wants every second of you to be Ovid Hashem and work hard and don't be held back by anything, work. In Karastir, you come to it's a different world. It's in Hungary. Karastir, you come to the Rebbe, you get a bracha, you get some borscht, you get some cholent, you get some food, you get a cup of tea, you get challah. Right, for Reb Shaila, the main thing was just to feed Jews. There wasn't any high ideas in Chassidus. He would get up at the Tish Friday night, right? You anybody here ever been to a Tish in Meisharim? What happens? 1,000 people, yeah, it was a big one. The Rebbe gets up, gives a mimer, hopefully excites the crowd, says something unique. Reb Shaila gets up, reads a couple pieces from Noam Elimelech, and that's the whole tish. He's like, Ramaylech has like a nice vart on this week's parsha, let me read it to you guys. And Mamish would open the sefer and read it to the chevra. That was all he did. He never had any original ideas in Torah, never had any deep hasagos or whatever. He would just share food and share the Noam Elimelech or from his Rebbe Tzvi Hirsch list, Ach Bitvua, we'd read from those svarim. Nothing fancy. I just eat. That's what he. I contemplated not saying anything tonight, just feeding chevra. Come in, read a piece of Noam Elimelech, and that'll be the whole. That'll be the whole night. But pretend as if I did it after we had the night, and then you'll chop. Like why I theoretically would have done it. Okay, is that better? Yeah. So, okay, fine. So, Shaila becomes Rebbe, and he wasn't just a chef; he was a master chef. He was the most sensitive person in the world. With food. I'll give you an example. Reb Shaila would have massive challahs baked. And he would cut enormous slices for every person that would come for food. And what was the point of that? Because imagine, you're a fancy guy, maybe you just lost your business, you come to the tish, and nebuch, you don't even have any food of your own. But you're not going to be someone who's going to come and ask for a second piece of challah. I'm not a beggar. I got one piece of challah. I can't ask for another. So what do I do? He'd make sure that the one piece you got was the size of an entire roll. So he cut everybody huge pieces of challah. Because that's what he wanted you to have to ask again. That's one thing Reb Shaila would do. I'm just kidding. Another maisa was that, this isn't even a maisa. I had this thing when I was reading this book on Reb Shaila. I went through it in like 2 weeks. No, maybe even less. But I just blitzed it. Just like, because maisas are kind of just miracle after miracle after miracle of Reb Shaila. So it's like fun. But so I had like a whole like Chuck Norris dictionary in my head of like, normal people do this, but Chuck Norris. Like, you know. So like I had like a whole list of like Reb Shaila quotes, like, and they're all like from stories. All right, so like by other tzaddikim, right before Tzkiyas and Rosh Hashanah, like Diba Voda, like they're holding the Zohar, they're doing chudim and like jumping into it like crazy. Reb Shaila, what's he doing? He's cutting the cake for the kiddush. That's what he was doing. For other tzaddikim, they do na'anum with the lulav for half an hour, make sure that. For Reb Shaila, stirring the cholent pot. Yeah, this is Reb Shaila. For him, everything is. It was Reb Shaila's golden leffel. Leffel's how you say, whatever this is called in English. Ladle. Ladle. His golden leffel. And that was Reb Shaila. Reb Shaila was just food for the tzibur, food for the klal. Here, so now let's bring with some mices here. Here we go. Oh. There's a guy in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. His name is Moshe Krauss. Holocaust survivor. He actually was, he was, Reb Shaila held him. Like, he's not so far away. He's still around, and Reb Shaila held him. And at his brit, at his, like, bris or whatever, and he's a little baby, his father gave him a bracha, and Reb Shaila said, not his father, Reb Shaila gave him a bracha, said, this guy's got a sweet mouth. So, from this guy's, you know, everyone knows Reb Shaila's brachas, they go a long ways. Everyone would go to this guy and be like, can you give us a bracha? He's 4 years old. He's, like, getting hounded by people. Give me a bracha. Remember, that guy's, like, 4 years old. Go get out of my face. Let me just play. And he, like, later on, I was watching an interview with him. He's like 85, 90, whatever, however old he is. And he's like laughing. He's like, no one realized. Reb Shaila was just saying that I'm going to be a great chazan. He ended up being the chief chazan of the army for like 50 years. So that was fine. Another good funny thing is that Reb Shaila was always like a little witty. So you know what benzene is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Correct. There we go. Some tells Rechav in the room. There we go. So what?
So you say in Persian.
Yeah? Benzene? Right. It probably means like petroleum or something. I don't know. So once a Jew came, or Reb Shaila was getting gas for a car he was in once, and they he wanted to pay, and the guy said, "No, you're a tzaddik. You're not paying for gas." And Reb Shaila said, "I want to pay for the gas." And the guy said, "No." And Reb Shaila said, "Okay, so what can I give you?" And the guy responds, "Look, I haven't had a son. I've been married for 20 years. I have no children." Reb Shaila says, "Okay, I'll trade you benzene for benzene." And a year later, he names his kid benzene. This guy. That's a good mice. A lot of these good mice. Another good mice. How do you say bone in Yiddish? Bane. Bane. Like a Bez Yud Yud Nun. So a guy, Reb Shaila sees somebody at the Tish, and he knows this guy. He comes to him the day before, kvetching, I have no children, I have no children. Reb Shaila throws him a bane. A bane. Get it? Bane, like Ben? It was all, he gave brachas, but it was all like this shtick. This is a wild story. He listened to the story. So, this is a fascinating story. So, one of Reb Shaila's gaboim, he wanted to... Would you mind opening the door? There's a drop. One of Reb Shaila's gaboim wanted to sort of like hear what was going on in Reb Shaila's room when people would come to him. So, what he did was he knocked a hole sort of in the wall. Say, chesidim, a little chutzpahdik. You know, they always do things like this. Not saying get the gemaises. So, knocks a hole in the wall a little bit, and someone comes into Reb Shaila. And he comes into Reb Shaila, and he asks him, he says, Reb Shaila, look, my children, they're not listening to me, I have no parnasa, my wife's upset at me, everything's horrible in my life, I want to end my life, I'm done, I want it to be, and he said, Rebbe, I'm ending my life. So Reb Shaila looks at him, and he says, no, let me ask you, Shaila, like, have you thought about jumping off the bridge by the river over here? Have you thought about that plan? And the guy says, yeah, that was actually my plan. And Reb Shaila says, okay. But maybe it's not the best idea because the bridge isn't that high, so what if you don't die? Like, that'd be really unfortunate. You'd be in a really bad place then. You'd be like, ah, never cripple, horrible. So the guy's like, oh, Taka, you're right. That's like a really good point. Like, I should have thought about this more. So Reb Shaila says, okay, what about if you jump off the top floor of one of those tall buildings in Kerestir? And the guy says, oh, that's a much better idea. That's really good. Thank you. And Reb Shaila says, but maybe that's not the best idea because then your body will be really, like, mutilated, you know, different pieces. Not the covetic for someone like you. You're an honorable guy. You know, you don't deserve this. So he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. So then they sit together in silence for a few minutes. And Reb Shaila says, how about this? He says, why don't we give it 2 weeks? Let's try to think of a good plan. We'll get back together in 2 weeks and we'll see what we can do. And the guy says, okay, Rebbe, thank you so much, and walks out and does not come back. Well, I was shot.
Killed himself.
He didn't kill himself. No, because he felt that someone really got him. You know, imagine you come to someone's room, you say, we do this, and the rabbi yells at you, like, what are you, like, when you're not going to get into Gan Eden, you're going to go straight to Gehenna, like, yell at him. Matthias said, listen, man, I get your tzaras. Let's work on this together. You know, I'll help you kill yourself if you want. I'm with you.
He didn't realize that, like...
What?
The guy didn't realize that, like, Rav Shiloh was just, like, playing with it.
Maybe he's very serious. Or maybe he really was loving him. I don't know. Lohayiti Sham. Yeah. That's a good Shiloh. No, he wasn't messing with him. He was being with him. He's been with him. That's amazing, Maisa. Another good one. So, is an awesome Maisa. But you're hearing that Rav Shiloh was just, like, for everyone. He loved everyone. Is a very interesting Maisa that he, you know, so in Karastir they had a staff of like 5 chefs. His wife and other people, they would hire people from Karastir to help cook. Because it was like an inn. It was like an everybody was at the inn getting food all the time. So once they really needed potatoes in Karastir. I think it was Chag Pesach, and they really needed potatoes in Karastir. And so there's no potatoes. So Rav Shiloh sent around his chaver, guys, find potatoes. We need potatoes for Pesach. And they couldn't find potatoes. And they find one older guy that had a big sack, a huge, you know, a huge thing of potatoes. And they said, look, Rav Shiloh wants potatoes. Will you please sell them to us? And he says, no. So they tell Rav Shiloh, he goes out to meet this guy, older guy. And he says, Nu, can I buy your potatoes? And the guy says, no, I want my potatoes. I don't need your money. He says, I'll pay double, pay triple. The guy says, no, what do I need your money for? I'm an old guy. I need potatoes. I don't need money. What do I need your money for? Rav Shiloh says, look, what will you do? How can I get your potatoes? And the guy says, I'll trade you for your Olam Haba. And Rav Shiloh says, deal. He says, afterwards he goes, what's my Olam Haba worth if I can't feed the Jews? One Jew is hungry, what's my Olam Haba worth? That's what he says. That's Rav Shiloh. Unbelievable, huh? Yeah. He would say, like, you would come home one day, and he'd be like, today I answered seven kashas with one teretz. So he would come home with his family. And his women, what are we talking about? You're not a big lambda in the basement. Or like, what do you? So he said, a guy came to me, he said, I have 7 starving mouths at home to feed. I send him back with a wagon full of food. One teretz for 7 kashas. Yep. And this is Rav Shiloh. And I'll tell you 3 famous mices. The first of all, one thing to know about Rav Shiloh you can't go away with if you didn't know about this is sugar cubes. It was called shnaz. How do you say sugar in Persian?
Shakar.
Really?
Shakar.
How do you say it in Hungarian? I think it's... I forgot. Whatever it is. What?
Flattening
scoop? No, I don't think so. But whatever it is, I forgot what it's called. Kutzker... Sugar, Kutzker, Sugar. Whatever it is, we'll say sugar cubes in English. Rav Shiloh had always on his desk, he had sugar cubes. And the sugar, everything about Karastir, the food in Karastir, like I told you, it wasn't just that he fed you, but he did miracles with the food, Rav Shiloh. So you come, your stomach's hurting, have some borscht, your stomach's better. You're sick, this, like he did miracles all the time. Someone would come and say, look, my daughter is ill, she can't even speak, she can't do anything. Take these 3 sugar cubes, get them into her mouth. Get 3 sugar cubes. Gets better. So Shiloh, the family passed down sugar cubes, the magical sugar cubes of Rav Shiloh. Look, imagine the Kutzker doing a miracle like this. You know, you'd probably kill someone before he would do a miracle like this. You know, Rav Shiloh's like, look, if I need to do a miracle to get a Jew lunch, I'll do a miracle to get a Jew lunch. Like, I don't care. Tzaddikim, like the ones that we've spoken about, did not want to do miracles. Right? If you look any of the Sfarim, 99% of the Sfarim about Tzaddikim that we've spoken about, they didn't want to do miracles because they thought, like, we can do miracles, but look, we don't need to. We'd rather, as I think the Kutzker himself said, you know, it's so good to do the Kutzker and then Rav Shiloh. The Kutzker himself said, like, the bigger miracle is making a Jew into a real chassid than, making some magic happen. But for Rav Shiloh, he's like, look, I want to feed Jews. I want to make Jews happy. I want to make Jews feel good. Do as many miracles as we need. So that's what he would do. So with the sugar cubes also, they were magical sugar cubes. And this is the reason that Rav Shiloh is in restaurants. There's 2 faces. There's really 3 faces that you see when you go to restaurants. Mirat Hashem, you guys will start dating one day, Bishat Toiva, and you'll go to... I'm going to bring a bracha about you decide when you're dating. Okay, man. But... man. Some mazel. So shy of her Moshe. That... So there's 3 faces you see when you're dating, and Moshe can corroborate this. Face number 1 is Lubavitch Rebbe. For some reason, he's in a lot of restaurants. Some restaurants even have videos of Lubavitch Rebbe speaking. Kelly Kasba, that's a... Yeah. I always have my back to him, so I would be distracted during the date. Sometimes I needed to switch around because I wanted to be distracted during the date. No, just kidding. He's there. If you go to a Sephardi restaurant, who shows up?
Ovadia.
Not Ovadia, Babasali's more into the food than Ovadia. You guys are right into learning, I don't know. And then the third one, and this you don't always see because he's often in the kitchen, is this face.
I'm sorry.
This face. In so many kitchens, in so many restaurants around the world, this face is there. And why? Because of the following maisa. Once, a chassid from Kerestir once came to Reb Shaila. And he said to Reb Shaila, he said, the Torah says that if you follow the mitzvahs, Hashem will watch out for you. And I'm careful with trumas and maaseres, this guy. And I follow the Torah and I'm doing all the mitzvahs, etc. And yet, my entire warehouses are being overwhelmed with mice. He says to Reb Shaila, how is it fair? How is it fair? I'm following the Torah. So Reb Shaila says, Taka, you're right. Let's make a din Torah. Let's make a basin. Let's convene a basin. He gets two lechev in the basin of Medrash. They didn't want to come, but then they said, Reb Shaila wants you. They came. And Reb Shaila says, here we have a Jew. And he is following the Torah. And he's supposed to be protected. And the mice are eating all of his provisions, all of his stuff. So Reb Shaila says, I hereby paskin, the mice are supposed to leave. Writes it down, Mamish, writes down the entire, gives it to the guy, bring this to your warehouse, post it on the wall. That'll be the end of your troubles. The guy goes home, puts it on as well, tacks it on, the mice walk out single file. That story happened twice, two different times. And because of that mice, everyone has Reb Shaila as the mouse rabbi. He's the skula for mice. You put Reb Shaila up, he'll protect you. He'll protect you. That's why, by the way, Mom, that's why he's in all the restaurants, because of the mice. Binyamin Pfeiffer once had a mouse problem. Put up a picture of Reb Shaila Kerestir. No more mouse problem. Ask him about it. Seen the picture. In his place. Kaval. Okay. Well, I'll give you two more mices before we... I'll give you two more mices. I'll give you three more mices. Fine. They're fun. Around those times, so the Polish and the Galician, and they would try to run after Hevra around our age and even younger to get them to go to the army. And once you're in the army, you're done for. No kosher food, no anything, whatever. This is a fun mice. So, I tell you, you have to smile. It's as shy as mices. You gotta smile. So what usually would happen is they would get tipped, and a lot of these chevra would hide in Kerestir because Reb Shaila's doors were open. So if you're running away from the army, where do you go? Run to Kerestir, Reb Shaila will protect you. So if the police were going to come, and sometimes like the army would come to try and find them, they heard about Kerestir, they knew that there were some, what Reb Shaila called, Tamir v'ne'elamniks. Tamir means hidden, people that are in hiding. So Tamir v'ne'elamniks, and they were hiding in Kerestir. And usually when they were coming, they would get like an advance and everybody would scatter and hide and the army would never find them. But one time they did a surprise attack. They heard that there were people in Kerestir. The whole army comes, no time to move. They have 4 minutes to prepare. Reb Shaila says, everybody go to the base of Medrash and stick your head in the Gemara. Get lost in the Sugya. Okay, everyone's in the base of Medrash. They're all terrified. The general of the army, whoever is the leader of this unit, comes in. And Reb Shaila walks him in. He says, have a look around. Everyone's like hiding in their gemaras. And one of this guy's assistants, they don't see anything. They don't see anything. And one of these army assistants goes like to the encoder, see maybe someone's hiding in there. And the leader of the unit like smacks him. He's like, we're not here for two people. Let's get out of here. We heard there were hundreds. And they walk out and the 300 people in the room let out a gasp. They survived. And no, it was just people that just passed away that were there. Crazy, crazy miracle. That's for sure. Anything to save another Jew. Another good mice. Fine. So I'll give you two more. This first one is psycho. This one's the most fun. My wife really doesn't like this one because it creeps her out. But it wasn't always fun in games for Reb Shaila. Sometimes he had to do things that were a little bit darker. So there was a Jew named this is a fun mice. So. Thing is, when I went through this whole book, I was sharing the mice with Matthew every single day. So we've been brainstorming for like weeks on this book. Yeah, a lot of fun already. So there's an interesting custom in Kerestir that the priest of the local church would go to the shul every Yom Kippur and pay his respects. And when did this custom begin? And it began with the predecessor of the local priest when Reb Shiloh was there. Because basically the local priest was a pretty evil guy. And he was very anti-Jewish and would always rile Christians up to beat up Jews and fight with them. And one of the neighbors of the priest guy was a guy named Gershon Avram. Gershon Avram came to Reb Shiloh and he said, Reb Shiloh, this guy is a bad guy. He's hurting Jews. He wants to come out for Jews. You've got to stop him. So Reb Shiloh says, look, Gershon, next time this priest leaves his house on his horse, let me know. Like when he's going to pass my window. So a couple of days later, the priest is about to go out and Gershon runs to Reb Shiloh. He says, okay, he's coming. Reb Shiloh looks by his window, sees the guy and his horse, looks at the horse in the eyes, goes like this. The horse kicks the priest off of him, tramples him almost to death, and leaves this guy crippled the rest of his life. All this guy could do, and when Reb Shiloh lifted his eyebrows, he said, oh, there's a line, the lesson. He will live in great suffering and bark like a dog. That's what he said about this guy. And the horse tramples him, and Mamish rocks this guy's world. He's a cripple like anything, can't even get dressed himself anymore. And he can't even get dressed anymore, and he could barely speak. But whenever he would see a Jew, he would remind him of Reb Shiloh, because he knew that's what happened. And every time he would see a Jew, he would go, it's Shiloh. That's all he would say.
He has superpowers.
Mamash is a superpower. So that's one. And then I'll finish up with just one really nice mice. And then the challenge is on you guys, because today is an unusual day. And to figure out what this means to you, I will not give you that much help. I'll give you only a little bit of help. So we'll frame it at the end, after this maisa. But there's a beautiful story that Reb Shiloh, is a chassid from Munt. You've heard of the Minchas Alash, or the Muntkacher Rebbe here? Mm-hmm. So he's from Hungary. Interesting guy, firebrand. Talk about it maybe one day, maybe not. And so one of his chassidim, and this is the Darchei Tshuva, the Minchas Alash's father, or the previous Munkach Rebbe, I don't know if it was his father. And one of his chassidim was once traveling through Karastir. And he didn't plan on staying by Reb Shiloh, he planned on staying at a local inn, but they didn't have enough beds. So where do you go? You go to Karastir, you know people stay there. So he goes into Karastir, and he knocks on the door, and there's an attendant there that would see everybody in. And there's a guy like in a white shirt, maybe it sits his over it, probably sleeves rolled up. Welcome, come on in, come lie down over here. He like helps a couple people, like brings him to the place where everyone's staying, gives him a little bit of food, tucks a couple chaver in, it's the middle of the night, and the seder, the guy, good night's sleep, very appreciative of this very warm attendant, nice guy, dirty clothes, okay, wakes up in the morning, and lo and behold, who is this attendant? It's Reb Shiloh. He was so confused because what kind of tzaddik doesn't wear a hat and a bekesh all the time? You know, what's he doing dressed up like this? So he found it kind of funny. He went back to Munkach and was a little bit making fun with his friends, like how weird of an experience it was meeting another Rebbe who was like acting like he's like a servant or something. And word got back to the Darchei Tshuva, who was the Munkach Rebbe at the time. And instead of mocking Reb Shiloh, he runs, you know, he says, okay, we gotta go meet Reb Shiloh. So he goes on a coach and he goes to Karastir. And it was Rosh Chodesh when he arrived. And Reb Shiloh, oh, big tzaddik's here, comes next to me at the Rosh Chodesh Tish. And having a big pseudo the covered Rosh Chodesh. And Reb Shiloh, you know, the Rebbe always cuts the challah, so everybody washes. And we know Reb Shiloh had huge challahs. So everybody washes, and Reb Shiloh makes motzi, and he begins to cut the challah for everybody, and he cuts one slice, and usually when you're cutting challah on Shabbos, you take a bite of the first slice, right? And you pass on the rest. Already made motzi, cuts the first slice, cuts another slice, huge challah, cutting, 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 cutting. A few minutes, he's cutting challah already, because it's so big, cuts it across, the cuts this way, in different directions, and then he takes one from the exact middle, reaches into the crowd, says, give it to this guy, he nudges the guy, comes over, gives him a piece of challah, and then he gives out the rest of it. And then he takes a bite and gives the rest to everybody else. And the Darchei Tshuva, you know, a lot of times you have one Rebbe does weird things and one Rebbe does like very like straight things. Like, what are you doing, bro? Like, why are you acting so strange? You made a bracha like 10 minutes ago. Like, you're still not eating yet. Like, what? It's not okay. So Reb Shiloh says, okay, relax, relax. Take a deep breath. I was cutting the challah. And I looked into the crowd and I saw somebody in the crowd who was looked like he was starving. He was looking at me with his mouth wide open. And he was needing food. So I said, okay, this guy, I got to make sure I get him first. He's like, maybe starving. I got to, I got to get him first. And I also noticed that he didn't have so many teeth in his mouth. So I couldn't give him a piece of challah from the outside of the challah. I had to give him one from the middle, which was the softest. And that's why I had to take so much time to give him challah. And this actually, he quoted from a din of like, you're supposed to feed your animals before you feed yourself. Even if you made a bracha already, you're allowed to go feed your animals. And he says, the Arachi Jew, he says, if I can feed my animals, even after I made a bracha before I take my own bite, you think I can't feed another Jew? So the Arachi Jew goes back, and he tells his chaver, like, big tzaddik, Rishayla Kereshti. So we had a lot of fun tonight, right? A lot of good maises, a lot of good shon. Baruch Hashem, we finished the pretzels, we finished the elephant ears, we finished the gevalt. I wish we had more. I can't do miracles. I can only talk about miracles. Halavai, I could do miracles. So why do we? So Baruch Hashem, we ate well, which was the most important thing. I was speaking for long enough time that we could finish all the food. And okay, so especially if there's some cynicism amongst us, like, oh, these stupid mice, like, what do I need all this for? It's like, it's cute, but so number one is to realize that miracles are real. Emes. I know people that do them, I know people that have seen them done, like, miracles are real. I don't know what they told you in school growing up, I don't know what your father tells you, your mother tells you, what we've seen, what we know. I was brought up thinking, anyway, that miracles are stupid, doesn't know what happened 300 years ago, whatever. There are people, there's very special people in the world that can do special things. And that's number one. Just emuna that there's great people in the world that can do miracles. Doesn't mean everybody does, doesn't mean you get to see it all the time. But Reb Shaila is one of them, and it was undeniable. This book is filled with hundreds and hundreds of stories of miracles. Eyewitnesses. That's all, they're real. So that's number one. Number two is, I think, it says they learn about Reb Shaila, and something that's so interesting is that in 2021, Reb Shaila is getting popular again. Many coffee stations in the world are donated b'schus Reb Shaya ben Reb Moshe. Many bakeries will give out food for free one day, especially on Reb Shaila's yard site. Bakeries all across the world give out free food b'schus Reb Shaya ben Reb Moshe. Why? Because Reb Shaila would do it. You go to a water fountain, donated b'schus Reb Shaya. I was in a chassidic place recently. Kivak's place, right? It was a whole coffee station?
Yeah, coffee station.
Donated by someone b'schus Reb Shaya ben Reb Moshe. Why? That's what Reb Shaya did. First of all, he's Poli Yeshuas, and he still does miracles even now. From Shemayim, but you could still daven, and you could still ask him for help, whatever. But to be selfless, I'm not exactly sure why Hashem decided that, right, nowadays, Reb Shaya died 100 years ago almost, 95 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. Why did Hashem decide that in really, like, 2019, he should be attractive again for people, like, to be interested in? I have no idea, and... anybody has a good svara, please let me know this week, after, whatever, why exactly it is. But the point is that Hashem is bringing back into the world the man who was 000 concerned for himself. He forever was the Shamish. The Shamish will give you challah. Whatever he has to do to help another Jew, he'll do. Didn't care about himself at all. Only cared about Klai Yisrael and other people. So that's what to think about. That's what to think about Reb Shaya, what to think about ourselves. But Reb Shaya ben Reb Moshe, say his name. Tonight it should be a schus for Reb Shaya ben Reb Moshe. It should be a schus of everybody that comes after him. We should be filled with brachas. You should know. I don't know if I should tell you this or not, but why not? Before this year, I held on to the two sides of the chompa. For 5 minutes, I davened for everybody here. Everybody who takes a... I want to be like Reb Shaila. I said, anybody who takes a bite of this chont, and I davened for 1,000 things. So anybody that's zachate, I'm sorry if you didn't get it. I found it. Anybody that had the chont, I put my kirchas into it. I put not just the barley. So you asked me who made the chont. My Rebbetzin made it, but I hope I was gave it a little more, a little extra grease, a little extra hearts, a little love, my golden leffel, whatever. So to use food to be over Hashem, to use brachas, to just give brachas to everybody. The Gemara says alti brachas hedyot kikalavnech, right? Don't let some like lowly person's brachas look stupid in front of you. Like, accept it, appreciate whatever it is. Give brachas to other Jews, give food to other Jews, give. But I'm not going to tell you what to think about Reb Shaila. I'll let you figure that out yourself. Ashander Shlita, would you mind hitting the lights? I think it's the one by the couch. Hank, can you close the door?
Yeah.
Shai. Let's go subscribe to the boys. Play shoes. Time for miracles. Time for miracles. Shai Kapurim, Kapurim, everyone. Everyone's invited to come stop by in Purim, of course. Everyone making out. What was that, Michia? Mish?
Yeah, I could.
What?
Everyone else. I'm happy. I don't know. I'm happy.